tell me about the structure of this program that you're doing. Opening and closing with very well-known works, the Moonlight Sonata to start and the Liszt Sonata to close, and then some lesser-known works in between, Janáček and Scriabin.
Well, the structure is strange sonatas, weird sonatas, because none of these are conventional sonatas, as in a fast movement, a slow movement, a scherzo, and a finale. So that's the first thing. The Liszt and the Beethoven are linked because we tend to forget that Liszt was one of the first people to routinely to play other people's music. Until Liszt, composers played their music. And if composers didn't play it, who else would? And so Liszt is the first person to play a piano recital. He coined the word, you know, from the literary form of actually reciting words. So the link is there with Liszt. Also, what I love about the Moonlight Sonata is, at the time of Beethoven and quite a long way afterwards, also with Liszt, people didn't sit down at the piano and play a piece of music. They sat down and improvised a little bit first. They'd play a few chords, they'd play a few arpeggios, and we even hear this on recordings as late as the 1930s from live concerts. You never sat down and just started playing a piece. It was just never done. And so what I love about the Moonlight Sonata is it's Beethoven sitting down at the piano and warming up with some arpeggios and then getting lost in them, and before you know it, that's the movement. And I love the irony of that, and it's an irony really that's lost on us today, because not just because the piece is so well known, but because that never happens, except in the jazz world, where it still does. In fact, it was known as preluding. It was a verb, and you would learn how to prelude before you played, and it was considered bad taste to prelude in this particular way. Liszt spoke about how would you prelude before, say, the Beethoven Opus 111 sonata. You know, what would be an appropriate way? The idea was not you don't prelude. It was how best to. What key would you go in? How far away from the home key? So those are those two pillars. The Liszt is the great sonata, really, of the Romantic era for the piano. I'm still amazed at its structural brilliance. And then in the middle, you have these three small pieces written within 5 years of each other, actually. I think 1903, 05, and 07. The Janáček Sonata with a date, even in the title of 1905. Two very strange composers, slightly crazy musically, total originals. In fact, I'm going to make a CD of combining Janáček and Scriabin in a year or so with these three works and also some of their smaller pieces. So I've always wanted to play the two Scriabin sonatas together because, in a way, the fifth grows out of the fourth. The fourth lays out this post-Chopin-esque harmony and this impressionist world. And then the fifth kind of expands those harmonies, it builds on them, it adds discords to them. The slight erotic, shall we say, quality of the fourth becomes a sort of hysteria by the fifth. It's a kind of slightly unpleasant development, really. And of course, he writes in the score, unlike in the fourth, which I think the most you get is volando, flying. By the fifth, you get with a sort of dizziness and, you know, in ecstasy and all these other words that you don't almost need the words because the music is telling you this. And then in between the Beethoven and the Scriabin, this little fragment really of Janáček, it was originally three movements, and after the first performance, Janáček threw the score in the river, saying it was worthless. And fortunately, the pianist kept a copy, but it didn't resurface until 20 years later. And then she showed it to Janáček, and he obviously thought much better of it then and gave it a sort of title. And the third movement was never discovered so far. So we have these two movements. But it makes a very, very powerful, it's one of the most sorrowful and deeply felt 10 minutes of music I know.